You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Outdoor Edge in their complete lineup of knives and game processing kits. These guys right now are doing an absolutely huge giveaway where you could win an elk hunt, and not just any elk hunt. We're talking about a 7 or 8 mile horseback ride into the backcountry. We're talking a one-on-one guided hunt. You're going to be sleeping in a wall tent, and you're going to be doing that for 5 days with the founder and CEO of Outdoor Edge, David Block. Now, if you've never been on an elk hunt before, I'm telling you right now, go sign up for this, because if you ever hear a elk bugle, whether it's at 400 yards or it's at 40 yards, it is a life-changing experience. So here's how you enter. Go to OutdoorEdge.com. There's going to be a big banner for it somewhere on their homepage. All you have to do is click on that. Go fill out some information. I think your name, your email address, maybe some other stuff. And that's all you have to do. That's how you are entered. They're going to be picking a winner, a ways from now. So you have plenty of time to enter. Go visit OutdoorEdge.com. Sign up today. And if you decide to purchase any products from the website, enter the discount code NATION30. That's the word NATION with the number 30 after that. No spaces. NATION30. And you will receive 30% off your purchase.
Welcome to the Southern Ground Hunting Podcast. My name is Parker McDonald, and I'm your host. Today, me and Drew are just really recapping the last couple weeks. It has been the earliest that the Alabama season has ever opened. We're going to recap our experiences and some of the things that we learned from the past 2 weeks hunting earlier than pretty much we've ever gotten to hunt in Alabama. So stay tuned. This is the Southern Ground Hunting Podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Southern Ground Hunting Podcast. I'm joined by my friend Drew Robbins in Addison, Alabama, the big town of Addison, Alabama. How's it going in Addison right now, Drew?
Oh, well, right now in Addison, it's a little bit sleepy and not doing a whole lot right now, but it's been busy this weekend. I know we had a lot of guys went out in the woods and got some texting calls from some guys have been successful. So it's and then, you know, with this cold front that came in, man, it was a good weekend to be in the deer woods.
It definitely was. Yeah, I mean, it's I've seen a lot of people been successful all over the country, really, but it really seemed like this past week or so is when a lot of the deer hit the ground in Alabama. Yeah. Which is still, I mean, you know, Michael Pike shot a buck on public out here. What was it? Monday or Tuesday, I think. And, so that's still earlier than most people have gotten to hunt. I mean, than anybody's gotten to hunt in Alabama. That's still before the statewide opener. And, and what he told me, this is interesting. This is an interesting thing. What he told me was that those deer that morning, because I talked to him on the phone while he was headed in that afternoon, before the afternoon that he killed a deer, and he told me that morning that he had a buck and a doe. He had a buck, dog, and a doe down, like, out of sight, but he could hear it grunting and running all morning long. And so after he got out of the tree, he walked down there, and he said there was just lots of, like, open buck sign, like rut sign. And then he went in that evening, and I assume he killed the same deer. I haven't really talked to him much other than text messaging. But that was interesting. You know, there's been a lot of like kind of crazy things like that happening. I mean, it's just weird to me that you could go in and find rut sign this early, earlier than the rest of the state is even open.
That's
and
crazy.
So, you know, I think a lot of people it's been mixed experiences, and I know you've had some really good, like, lots, heavy deer numbers sits on some private land, and we're going to talk about that today, and some of the things that you kind of figured out and observed, and then we'll talk about my last few sits. We really haven't, Drew, me and you have both killed deer so far, and we haven't really talked about it a whole lot on the podcast. Uh-huh. And so I think it'd be good to kind of discuss some of the changes that we've seen. You know, if Alabama keeps doing this with these zones and opening up some of the zones in the state early, then people are going to really be looking for ways to, because I know a lot of people have had the same experiences that I have, which was very low deer numbers and not very many sightings, and practically zero sightings of bucks. And yeah. And so I know a lot of people are going to be kind of listening and learning how in the future to hunt these times, especially in the big woods. And so I think that'd be good. It'll be fun to talk about our story. So this is going to be a little bit of story time, but it's going to be pretty tactics based on some of the adaptations that we've had to make to our hunting strategy opening up 2 weeks earlier. There's a lot of things that happen, Drew, 2 weeks earlier. I don't know if you've noticed, but our first week there was almost no acorns on the ground. Did you kind of experience the same thing?
Yeah, there was. I mean, just walking around and didn't find no acorns. Didn't find any. You know, didn't find any of those good fig trees. You know that were dropping. And you know, with it opening up, just like you said, the 2 weeks early, I was. You know, you're kind of banking on them kind of being still on an early season pattern, but man, there was no acorns dropping. Now that changed, or at least it seemed to change in the middle of last week.
Yeah,
and I was walking around, started finding some holes and some deer sign underneath some acorn trees, but the first week, man, I'll be honest, I had some high hopes that we'd just be able to you know, just ambush some deer and just surprise them because they're not used to being hunted this early.
Yep.
But that was not the case, man.
Yeah.
It just wasn't.
Yeah, they all seem to be just well hidden. I have some spots that I go to early season normally. So normally Alabama opens on the 15th or somewhere around there. I think it's usually the 15th, no matter what day it is. That's mm-hmm. when it opens October 15th. This year it was October 1st, so it was early, just in case anybody isn't familiar with it. So I have these spots that I go to, these areas that I typically will do all of my doe killing at. So I don't normally start going after bucks until I've got a couple of does on the ground already. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But these areas that I go to, like, for example, last year, I was actually in Georgia for the opener, so I didn't get to hunt Alabama until, like, the 17th or the 18th. And on that first sit, I saw over at least 30 does. Like, there was a ton of does in this area all morning long. That was just one morning. I hunted until 11, and I saw, like, 30 deer. And then that evening, jumped another 10 deer on the way in, had a little forky come in that afternoon. And then right at dark that night, I had just a herd. It sounded like a herd of deer come in range at about 10 or 15 yards, but it was too dark. I couldn't get a shot, and they ended up smelling me and blowing and all that stuff. So it was definitely a big difference from last year's first Alabama sit and this year's first Alabama sit. So, we'll kind of just start off with that first sit for me. I went into that same area that morning. I went into that same area and did not even see the first sign of a deer. But it's not totally true. I saw one walking in, but as far as sitting, I didn't see any deer, and there were hardly any tracks on some of the creek crossings that are in that same area. This is the same spot where I went in and saw 30 deer the first sit last year. So I have high hopes every time I go in there, and the deer just were not there. And as I was walking out, I noticed, man, there's just no sign in here. Even on the beach where I put my kayak, usually it's just you can't walk 5 steps without finding, you know, 100 deer tracks. They're just usually everywhere in there. Yeah. You've hunted that same area, and you know kind of what it normally looks like.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't the case this time. I didn't see a deer until, let's see, that was a Thursday. I took off work that Thursday, the 1st. I didn't see a deer until the 3rd, and I shot it. That was the first doe that I killed. And to be honest with you, I don't know if I would have killed that deer if some dogs hadn't have jumped them up. I was definitely in a good area. I was in an area that has a ton of deer. But it was a different spot that I had not intended to hunt until I was buck hunting. But I wasn't seeing any deer in my normal areas. So I went in here, shot a deer at like 7:50 in the morning. And not 10 minutes later, two dogs came running out of the woods. And I was like, man, those dogs may have scared those deer over here, bumped them out of their bed. And that video is up. I didn't have the dogs on video because I didn't have my camera running. But so that was kind of my experiences that first weekend. I know you had a little bit different experiences because you were hunting a little bit different type of area. Talk about the private land that you were hunting and the field and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a guy in our church has a big green field. It's a real big one. Got a shooting house on it, and he's got a ton of does on it. And he's like, man, he goes, you know, hunt it. It's the same one that I got to hunt last year. And so last year when I was gun hunting, I would always see does there. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to come back during bow season and I'm going to, you know, get some, I'm going to fill the freezer. So that's what I did. I ended up shooting a doe, off of it. But there was one afternoon where, I saw 16 deer and all of them were does, which, you know, I let you know that there's some does need to be taken off there. And so I saw 16 deer.
Didn't you see a buck in there in that field before that though?
I did. I think it wasn't the Thursday that it opened. It might have been that Friday. No, or it's either Friday or Saturday.
Yeah, it was
first
early
sit over there. Yeah, it was the first sit over there, and I'd seen probably 5 to 6 does. And then right at dark, it was way past shooting light. I mean, I couldn't see my pins or nothing. The only way I was able to see this deer was because of the green field, and it was a buck. It came out. It was a good buck. And so I was able to see it through my binos. If I didn't have those, I wouldn't have been able to tell what it was. But it came out, and it's just a green field. There's no corn on it or anything like that. It's just a good old fashioned green field. And so I saw some deer there. I went hunted public one of those days on, and it's a spot where me and you actually tag team hunted it.
Yep.
And didn't see nothing.
That was the same area where I hunted opening day.
And
you always go in there and you have high expectations because usually there's just so many deer. You missed a deer in there last year.
Missed a deer in there.
I don't know if I ever actually killed one in there last year or not. I don't think I did. I didn't kill one over there last year, but it wasn't for lack of seeing them. I mean, they were definitely there.
That was the first sit that I had in there that I didn't see deer. And didn't really know what it was. The only thing that I could think of, and something me and you talked about, Parker, was maybe there was a feed tree that we hadn't found yet, but I didn't even see any acorns really falling then, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just like, go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's kind of I want to break down this first weekend real quick, because I think you're right. I think you are right. And in my conversations with other people, they were not finding nearly the amount of acorns, but it really required a lot of scouting that you wouldn't normally, that I don't normally have to do during that early part of the season. And it's kind of those hang and hunt type situations where scout and hunt type situations,
right,
where you've got to go in, because I do believe that somewhere in the vicinity there were feed trees somewhere. There was acorns on the ground and the deer were pounding them somewhere. And they just weren't in the areas that usually we can depend on. And I think, you know, if I go and hunt there, I'm going to go and hunt there again this week and see if things are a little bit different. And I can almost guarantee you that it will be, because I know that the trees have produced, because I could see the acorns in the trees. They just hadn't dropped yet. So I'm going to go back this week. After this cold front came through, we had some wind, a lot of rain last week. I'm going to go back and see if things are a little bit different. And I can imagine they probably are. But I think you're exactly right. Like, there was probably one main feed tree that we just didn't find I wasn't planning on having to find it either, just because normally you go in there and there's a lot of deer. But the other thing is in the big woods, like what we're hunting, where you don't have a lot of, like concentrated food sources. You have a lot of natural browse, which is spread apart. It's spread, you know, everywhere. So it's kind of hard to find those, you know, areas, those little pockets. It's hard to pinpoint where the deer are going to be at. You don't have ag. We don't have corn. We don't have soybeans. On the public, there's not a lot of grain fields around where we're hunting. There are some on private land, which is kind of what you experienced. And going back to late season, so last year, if people listen to the podcast through, you know, February last year, I hunted pretty stinking hard. I had a lot of all-day sits in the areas that I would consider to be high, you know, target-rich environments. And I wasn't being super picky for my last buck tag towards the end of the season. I was like, you know what, if I see a buck, And I did let some smaller bucks, you know, some spikes and 3 points and 4 points walk during that time, but I wasn't ultra picky, and I just didn't see deer. You go out on these big woods chunks of property, and you're just not gonna find a lot of deer on that in the late season, because the acorns are gone. They've got natural browse, so if you find a thick area, the deer are probably living in there, but you're just not going to see them. The people who are killing deer in that late season, either one, have some type of crop that they're hunting, two, they're on private land and they're able to hunt, you know, corn piles, or they're on private land and they've got green fields. They've got those food sources that are available to the deer in the late season that you're just not going to find in big woods. You're just not going to find them. And honestly, in some of the public areas that do have green fields, there's so much pressure on them during that time that they're probably not that productive either, because the deer are hitting them at night or whatever. And so it seemed really similar to late season. That's what it seemed like to me on a lot of these early season hunts in Alabama. And so it was interesting to me, because I was like you, I thought, man, there's going to be a lot of bucks that die since they're opening up early. And there was a couple. There was one guy that killed out of this same public area. He killed a really nice 8-point that was still in full velvet on October 1st. He killed it opening day, and it was in full velvet.
That's crazy.
He was
a good buck.
That was a really good buck. Our friend Justin Moser and Brian Hamm, the guys that have tracked for me in the past, they got to track that deer, and I mean he was a good one. And so there was a couple bucks that died, and I think, you know, one of the things that I was talking with Michael about early on was that a lot of the acorns seem to be falling in on the higher elevation areas. So if you could get on top of a ridge, that's where you would find you know, most of the acorns that were dropping a little bit earlier. And that probably had to do a lot with wind knocking them down, being up at the top, honestly. And so that was it was just an observation that I had. Things were very much different than what I thought they were going to be. And looking into the future, I think it would be a good idea to really, you know, next year, if they do the same thing next year, to scout. And to scout probably sometime around the end of September and see if you can find some of those earlier dropping white oaks and to concentrate. Because I was on, you know, most of the time I was on decent sign where I would end up hunting at other than that first day. But you saw the creek crossing that I hunted the day that we tag teamed. I mean, it was covered up in deer tracks. So I should have been seeing deer, but I just wasn't. And and then that finally that third day I shot that doe, and that was cool, you know. But at the same time, I know I was in a good area. This is an area that I hunted a lot last year. It's kind of a 150 acre tract of property of public, and that's kind of isolated. And man, I mean, it's covered in deer. I actually killed both of my deer off of the same area. So moving into week two, you know. Week two, you and I both killed deer. So you killed one. You killed your first one before I killed my second one. So talk a little bit about that, and kind of what your experience was with that, which isn't going to be terribly different because it was the same piece. But
it was the same piece, and I actually when I hunt the spot, I don't try to hunt the spot unless I can just get in and get out like real quick. And it's one of those where if I have an hour prior to work or right after work, or like what happened on Friday, we were going out of town to Georgia. I was going to go and visit my brother, and we're gonna go hunting over there, which we ended up doing. But I had an hour to sit, and just didn't want to get on public land, just because with some of our public land, it's not worth it to walk in for just an hour.
Yeah.
And so I eased over there, and I thought, man, the first doe that I see, I'm gonna shoot her. And just happened that she popped out 6:45, came in, and gave me right that shot, and I turned it loose, and shooting those heavy arrows with the cut on contact big VPA broadheads. I mean, talk about
your setup for a second. What's the total arrow weight and all that stuff?
The total arrow weight for mine is 715 grains.
Jesus.
And
it's huge.
it's a big arrow. It's a lot of arrow. And it was cool to see, you know, we did the podcast with Ranch Ferry, and you know, there's a bunch of heavy arrow, you know,
content
geeks out there right now that are just building, and that's awesome. So it was cool to see what happened when I shot her. She didn't mule kick or nothing. And I, you know, you see it on TV and all this different stuff. You all see mule kick, all that stuff. I shot her. She turned and ran out of the food plot, stopped in the pine trees and walked. And, about 5 minutes later, I heard some rustling, and I was like, well, maybe that's her. And sure enough, it was. She'd gone 40 yards and it piled up, and didn't bleed a whole lot. But I got thinking about it. She wasn't running, so she wasn't pumping out blood.
Yeah.
And I double lunged her. I mean, there was lung blood everywhere when I got to her.
Yep.
But she wasn't running. She was just walking because she didn't know what had happened. And so that was really cool to see. So got her loaded up and got her back to the house. And then before you
get off of that subject, I want to talk about that too. With my first deer this year, this is the first deer that I've shot with, you know, the heavy cut on contact heads. I'm using the VPA, basically the little brother to your, you're like using like the 300 grain heads, right?
Yeah.
So you're way up there. I'm using the 175s with a 70 grain insert. And I want to say my FOC at the time, my FOC was at 20.4%, but I recently added lighted nocks because I've lost every one that I've shot, just about, except for the first one, and I was just tired of it. I'm like, these arrows are too expensive to be losing. Yeah. But I didn't use lighted nocks because I didn't want to mess with the FOC because I was happy with it. But, you know, I ended up putting some on there, and I think I'll probably be happy with it. The problem was is during my – in the videos and stuff, and even when I would make the shot, I wasn't able to see exactly where I hit. And I think the lighted nocks are going to be a big help for me on that as far as that's concerned. But that's the same thing that happened with both of my deer. But talking about the first one that I shot, it was not a very good shot. I mean, it was a hard quartered away at my 6 o'clock, and I was standing on my tiptoes to get over a branch that was right in front of me. It was kind of like my back cover. I was using his back cover, and those deer came out right behind me. And I thought I drilled her just because she ran like 10 steps and then just fell over dead. Like before her head hit the ground, she didn't flop. She didn't like move her leg, kick her legs or anything. She was just dead. And so I thought, man, I just crushed her. And I got up there to it and there was gut all over the arrow. And I was like, well, I don't know. But I mean, obviously I could see her. What ended up happening was I hit the back leg and went through the femoral artery, through the hip, and out the guts, out like kind of front guts. And that femoral artery just, I mean, when you hit that, it kills them pretty quick. But when they don't know what happened, they don't know that they're hit, they don't do much. Imagine seeing a doe. Or seeing a deer, just a deer in the woods, and you clap your hands just real loud. You clap. They're going to run. They're going to spook out of reaction, and then they're going to run maybe a couple feet, and then they're going to turn around and look to see what it was. They may run to some cover and then stop and see what it is. And that's exactly what happens. They don't know what hits them. They don't know that they're hit. And the longer they stand there to look, the more their body starts feeling sick, and they start realizing, oh, something's wrong, and then they fall over dead. And so that's exactly what happened. The crazy thing was I went through the hip and then through a significant amount more deer in the guts, and that arrow just whipped through it like butter. I mean, it just went through so fast. And I know people, like, I'm not stupid. I watch, you know, I'm on Facebook, I'm on social media, I see all the memes. And I know it's a trend, and guys who are stuck in their old ways of rages and whatever, they get butthurt about people doing it. But, it's just more effective. Like, it just is. I know there's people that are probably going to listen to this and be like, man, just jumping on the bandwagon. Well, yeah, and it's more effective. Like, I don't
know. Yeah, well, I mean, you've had two die on camera.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Parker, too. To kind of add to that, when I went to my brother's, he actually shot a doe and hit her in the exact, I can't say the exact same spot because, you know, but he hit her in the back ham, and he's shooting a mechanical, you know, one of the big ones, really popular one. And the only reason that we found that deer was because he cut the artery there on the back hip.
Yeah, that femoral.
If it wasn't for that, because whenever we got to her, he went to the back hip, and it didn't even get to the guts. It just hit the back hip and stopped.
Wow.
And so if he hadn't hit that artery, I can't say that we, you know, wouldn't have found her, but there's a high probability. I mean, because he just hit muscle. That's all it would have been, was just a back ham hit. You know,
and it wouldn't have made it far enough to go into the guts to be fatal.
No. Yeah, there was no. The only thing that saved him was him cutting that artery, and that's where guys say, well, that's what happens with a, you know, big cut on contact. Well, you know, this doe was also keyed up, and she was 30 yards away, and had kind of caught his wind a little bit and knew something was up, and whenever my brother shot her, she actually turned and wheeled, and that's when he hit her right there in the back. And so it's like one of those things where it's like, okay, you can have an arrow for the perfect broadside shot and hope they don't drop and move and duck. Or you can have an arrow that if they do those things, which they are going to do those things, it just ups your odds. And, you know, we had Shane Simpson on, and he was like, you know, we have much better success if there's an entry and an exit.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And there's just no arguing those numbers. I mean, you can sit here and be like, well, I'm a mechanical guy. That's fine. And it is 100% fine. Shoot the way that you want to shoot, but also don't get mad at me for shooting the way that I want to shoot.
Yeah. Well, let's just say with the deer that I shot that I wouldn't have hit that femoral artery and it wouldn't have killed it fast. Let's just right. suppose I missed the artery by a couple inches or whatever. It did the exact same thing. It goes through that hip, through the leg, through the hip, whatever, and out the guts. Well, that's still going to be, I'm still going to find that deer if I play my cards right on a gut shot.
Right.
If I let it lay, right. let it do its thing. It's not ideal, but it's still going to kill it. If I've got exactly. if I've got a mechanical that hits the same spot and stops on that hip, doesn't hit the artery or anything, well, I'm never going to find it. That deer's probably going to live. It's probably going to be fine with an arrow sticking out of its butt. But with a gut shot deer, it's going to die every single time. It's just a matter of how long it's going to take. And so if I would have missed it, I still would have come home with a deer. It just may have taken longer for me to get it. So things are trends, but if you watch a lot of YouTube videos right now of guys who did jump on the quote unquote bandwagon, you're seeing a lot of deer die on camera this year with a bow. I mean, and if you watch it, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Like these people just, people are not losing deer nearly as much with these heavier cut on contact blades. It's just like, I'm not going to say that it's fact because I know that there have been some situations where guys didn't recover their deer, but I will say that it's fact that you have a lot better chance of being able to recover your deer if you play your cards right. And a lot of people not recovering their deer is probably more a user error in how they're pursuing the hit animal. You know, if I gut shot a deer with a, 900 grain arrow or whatever, and I don't give it the 8 to 12 hours, well, that's my fault if I don't recover it. Or if I don't find the get a dog or something like that, that's going to be my fault. Anyways, off of that soapbox, I hear a lot of people, especially right now, as people are having success and attributing that success to these heavier setups, I see a lot of people getting butt hurt and, doing what they do on Facebook, keyboard warriors.
Yeah.
And well, I ain't never had no problem with whatever head. So, anyways.
Yeah. Going back to, the kill and everything. So I went in, killed her, had her out by 7:30 and was coming back to the house. You know, cause once again, we had to go to Georgia. I was going to go to Georgia and deer hunt with my brother there, which I ended up doing. And it was really cool. We hunted, one day there and, was able to get on some public lands, hunted my brother's private land Monday afternoon. I scouted around and found some public land and found some really good sign, and was able to set up and actually had two does come in on me. I was set up on a drainage going down into a creek, and on the other side of the creek was an acorn flat. One of those things that me and you have found, especially here, drainages work really well.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's like an exit off of a highway.
Yeah, and so what I had, I had acorns on one side of the creek, a drainage going up into private land. There's a big open like hayfield pasture, and they were feeding in it, bedding in it, and so I was like, man, this is this is perfect, you know. And set up on it, and had two does come from they came in downwind of me, and came and just got just a little bit of my wind, and didn't blow or nothing, but just hopped off, and they came in off them on my weak side, which, you know, we're saddle hunting, so it was my weak side. So turning and trying to get that shot was going to be really, really difficult. And but it was cool, you know. I went to a state that I'd never hunted public land on before, and was able to kind of take some of our tactics that we use here in Alabama, take them over there, and almost pulled it off on just a total blind. I mean, me and my brother went and scouted that. We walked out of that creek bottom and saw a ton of sign, and it was hunting the fresh shine. And it took us, we walked most of the day and didn't find hardly anything, and then we found the fresh sign, and I went back and set up on it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best way, in my opinion, to hunt new pieces of public. Like, just find that most recent sign and set up. That's cool. So I want to kind of skip forward a little bit. You and I both had that second week. I mean, on public, it was really the similar experience. I hunted fairly hard, you know, throughout the week. It rained that weekend, Friday and Saturday. Did not see a deer Friday or Saturday. Not anything. I mean, it was just bad. And I went into some, you know, decent spots on a really good spot on Friday, where I've killed a buck at during the rut in the past. And really, I mean, there's a lot of deer that use this little area. Didn't see anything, and really, honestly, didn't even see a lot of deer sign in there because the acorns hadn't dropped in there yet. I found a couple, like 50 yards away from where the boat was at. I had to climb a mountain, and so, like, on the flat before you go up, on my way out, there was a really, really fresh, humongous buck turd and some acorns on the ground, and I was like, dadgummit, I should have just set up here. And that's where all the deer were using. So when you talk about that hot feed tree, that was it. You know, I had found it, but I just didn't know it was there until I was walking out. And probably if I would have hunted it that morning, I mean, this turd had fallen within the last, well, I'll give you an example. It had rained that morning, and that turd was not covered in rain, if that makes sense. Like, it wasn't wet. It was still, I don't know, not dry, because it was wet because it was a turd, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it hadn't been sitting out in the rain. So probably that had happened within the last hour or so. And if I would have set up there, I probably would have killed him. And so that was kind of, you know, eye opening for me, especially for that specific spot, looking in the future, like maybe don't hike up the mountain and go up to the top. And I was just mostly thinking about, you know, acorns falling at the highest elevation, but at this specific spot, they were falling in the lower elevation. And, so that was, and a lot of it has to do with the wind, you know, the, kind of your dominant winds, and that spot sets up really well for a wind coming out of the east. So most of the time, the winds are coming out of the south this time of year, and so at the bottom of a really, it was a slough coming off the water. In that slough, a wind coming out of the south is still going to hit that tree the same way that it would. It's basically a west facing slope, it's going to hit the wind's going to hit those trees the same way, and so those acorns are falling down. It was just something interesting that I started putting together, because I'm like, it makes no sense why these deer are using this right here when it would be a lot safer and it would probably take a lot less work for them to just stay up on top. Well, then I put it kind of together. So that was Friday. Saturday, I pretty much got rained out. I only hunted till about 9 that morning, and it rained consistently the whole time. I was just waiting for breaks in the rain to see if they would come out. I was hunting over persimmons and it never stopped. I mean, it was just, I was soaked the whole day. Saturday, Sunday after church is when I shot my second deer. And I went back into that same area, probably about half a mile or so away from where I killed the first deer, but it was in the same like chunk. You kind of have to go around a big bend anyways. Hunted a spot that I never hunted. I hunted it one time in January last year. And so I walk in, and immediately as soon as I get out of the boat and come up on top of the ridge, a deer blows at me. And I was like, okay. And so I walk a little bit further, and I start finding acorn holes on the ground with the notches where the deer had cracked them. And I was like, all right. Yeah. So I walk a little bit further, and there's a big, huge deer trail that goes all the way around the side of this hill, all the way back to like this. I was hunting the same deer trail when I shot the first deer. It's just the most heavy deer trail maybe that I've ever seen in Alabama. The dirt on it, the dirt is so packed down that it feels like concrete on this, on this trail. And then if you watch the most recent video that I uploaded, you can see it. It's just a stupid heavy trail. And so I walked past that, and I was going to hunt the edge of this bedding area. Cause I was kind of hunting for bucks, but it would shoot a doe if I saw a doe. So about 4:30 that evening, by the way, there were acorns dropping all over this area, and you could tell the deer were tearing it slap up. So I knew I was going to see deer that night before I even set up. And about 4:30, those does come out, and long story short, I ended up shooting one, and they were munching on acorns hardcore. Like, that was how I actually saw the deer, is I heard the loud pop of an acorn crack. And so I was in and out of there before dark, and so that was cool. Now moving forward into this week, which was basically I didn't hunt a ton midweek, honestly, but yesterday I hunted Friday at my friend's private hunting club, which was fun as crap. He saw a ton of deer, and I was just kind of going in and hunting it like I would hunt public and hunting a lot of transitions, and I saw some deer. Had some fawns come up and sniff my sticks, and saw a doe. It was fun. I hadn't hunted, you know, like that on a hunting club in a while, and so it was nice to just walk a couple hundred yards from the truck and set up. You know, I still sat in my saddle, and I sat over a green field that evening, set in my saddle, and so that was cool. Not really a ton to talk about there, but yesterday is really kind of what I wanted to get into, because yesterday was my first big buck encounter in Alabama of the season. And, Drew, me and you talked about this area quite a bit, cause I've been pretty stuck on it. The way it works out is off of the water, it goes straight up, right? And it's a, it would be a south facing slope. So it really works well on a north wind, on a wind coming out of the north. If you're trying to hunt deer, coming to a bedding area in the morning, it really works well. It's thick, man. It's thick on those hill, that slope, because it's really so far away from any access point that they just don't come in, and they don't burn it. They don't really do a whole lot to it. So because of the way that slope kind of faces, and the way the sunlight hits it, like the vegetation just grows up super thick. Understory is insane, and there's only really one spot that you can get up into it from the water, because there's a drainage coming down. And even at that, man, like it's still thick. And once you get on top, it's got a big clear cut on it, a fairly new clear cut, probably a couple years old. It actually doesn't show up on the maps, and not on the new ones. Onyx kind of did some updates, and they're maps are actually older than what they used to be, because the old map actually showed the clear cut, but the new ones don't. And so that clear cut comes all the way down, and there's only about a section about 20 to 30 yards wide from the point that it's the hillside, the steep hillside starts to flatten out until you get to that cutover. So it basically makes a little thin funnel of woods, of thick woods, between the slope and the cutover, which was something that I found last year. I actually was just kind of walking around during gun season, during late season. Didn't really have anything else to do. I didn't want to set up. And so I just walked around. And that was a good walk that day because I found a ton of buck sign in there. Not just an overwhelming amount of deer sign. It really goes back to what Nathan Killen talked about, really hunting those deer, especially in the hills, hunting the big mature bucks away from the large amounts of deer sign. And so I'd been really thinking about this, and I really wanted to hang a camera there, and me and you were going to go and put a camera up there one day, and we just couldn't work it out to where the kayaks, where we could both get in there and everything. So I didn't put a camera in there, but yesterday we had this cold front come in and I was like, okay, the wind is coming. It's going to be coming kind of out of the northeast, which sets up perfect for a deer wanting to bed on those points overlooking that water. And so what I believe is going to happen is they're going to come out of the clear cut, and work their way into that bedding area. And so I set up, and this is where it gets pretty cool. I set up fairly not blind, knowing the area that I wanted to go into, where I found some rubs during that walk last year, and some gigantic buck tracks. I mean, huge buck tracks in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And hardly any doe tracks. There wasn't a whole lot, but I knew there was a big buck that lived in that block of woods. The block of woods is not huge, probably, 30 acres or so of actual standing woods, and then the rest is clear cut up on top. I knew there was a big buck that was living in there. Maybe more, but I knew for sure there was one because I followed his tracks out of the clear cut and into the bed. I found his bed in there, and it was a good setup, big buck turds and everything. Went in there first thing in the morning yesterday. Two deer blew out while I was setting up. I thought, not a big deal. They were in the clear cut. And I thought, it's not a big deal. I set up on a slight, very slight depression coming out of the clear cut that almost leads directly to his bed. It was where my tracking, my breadcrumbs on Onyx were following. And this slight depression, it always seems, Drew, like these bigger bucks, deer in general are going to use those, but the bigger bucks are going to use the ones that are more subtle. Right?
Yeah.
And so I set up on that slight depression, expecting the deer to come out of the clear cut and into the bed. When I got there, I started finding a lot of acorns on the ground right where that little drainage was. A lot of acorns on the ground, lots of cracked ones, good amount of, where you could see the deer had been coming through there and eating the acorns. And so I thought, man, I might actually see more deer than I was expecting because it was really my first, aggressive buck sit of the season. I got two does under my belt. I'm good. It's not that kind of area that I want to go in and really shoot a doe if I see one, just because I don't think the deer population in this specific part is as high, and so I want to leave some of the does alone, honestly, because I think during the rut it's going to be even better. So get in there, set up, don't see anything until 9:30. At 9:30, I start hearing something, and I'm looking, and I'm like, maybe it's just a squirrel. I'm not seeing anything. It's pretty thick, like I said. It opens up a little bit more in this area, but not just a ton. And 9:30, I hear it. I'm like, man, I don't know where that is at. And then all of a sudden, the way the sun, I don't know if people are listening to this, you kind of understand when you set up in a spot where the sun is kind of at your face, when it gets up over the trees a good bit and starts shining down in your face and you can't see because it's actually reflecting off the top of the leaves that are in there. And so you can't really see the ground all that good. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And it really sucks for cameras because your camera will focus on the trees that the sun's shining on. Well, all of a sudden, I catch some movement right on the edge of the woods going into the clear cut, and there's that buck standing there. And I can see him walking into the clear cut. So he had passed by me at some point, probably out of range, because I could pretty well see everything that would be in range. But he passed by me at some point using the other side of the drainage that I was set up on that slight depression. And just judging by the way his body was faced in the direction he was walking, he came out of the bedding area. So he had already gotten into his bed for the morning and then left and was walking into that clear cut and probably going to bed. That clear cut goes up a little bit higher in elevation, probably going to bed down into that in that clear cut at the higher elevation. But I saw him. Mm-hmm. I didn't get him on camera because, I mean, I saw him for a split second. But, Drew, I'm telling you, he was massive. He was the buck that I was in there after.
Yeah.
Which is awesome because it made me feel good. It made me feel like I'm not stupid, you know?
Maybe I do know
a little bit about how to get on these bigger bucks out here. I hated that I wasn't able to get a shot off on him. And that he beat me, you know, he walked over my walk-in trail, which sucks because that means he knew something had come in there. But I saw him. Well, I was planning on hunting until about 10 o'clock. Then we were going to go to a Halloween thing here in town with some friends. And so I was planning on doing that. Well, that buck goes in and I'm following the sound of the birds. And he goes right into the edge of that clear cut and beds down, like 75, 80 yards away from me. He beds down in there. And I can hear the birds that were following where he was at, and they just stayed in that one spot. Like, and every 15 minutes or so, they would go crazy again, just nuts in that same spot all day long. I had one bottle of water. No food. I was not planning on hunting all day. And I texted my wife. I was like, hey, there's a big buck that's bedded up right here next to me. And I think when he gets hungry, he's going to come into these woods and he's going to eat these acorns that are in here. And so I'm going to try to wait him out if I can. And she was like, yeah, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Stay there if you want to, whatever. And so, dude, I sat there all day long until dark, waiting on this buck, and almost all day long, every time, I think what was happening was he would get up to adjust or maybe eat some leaves or something, eat some browse that was around him, but about every 15 to 20 minutes, those birds would start going crazy in the same spot, and he was out of my sight. I couldn't see him, but I knew exactly what was going on, and so I stayed there all day long. In my saddle. People who say you can't sit all day in your saddle, that you can. If you want it bad enough. I mean, I'm not going to say that I was like, you know, it wasn't like sitting in a lazy boy all day long, but it was comfortable. I wasn't uncomfortable. Mostly, more than anything, I was having a hard time rationing water. Because I had one bottle of water with me, and that was it. And no food. Yeah. I was hungry. I didn't eat anything that morning coming in because I wasn't planning on hunting all day or even really super late. And so I just sat there all day long. Let's see. I got down when I couldn't see my pins. I get down and I don't see another deer. I didn't see another deer all day. But I knew that buck was standing there. Or sitting there, laying down. I get down and I get to about my second stick and I hear a deer in that direction walking. And so I stop and that deer walks, I mean, my direction. He was walking at me. And I had reached up to turn my headlamp off. I turn my headlamp off and I hear it run off. I guess it heard the click or something, and that deer, I mean, I know it was him. I know he was walking right to me, right at dark. He probably knew something wasn't right, and when I started making a little more noise, he came to investigate, and that was my hunt. I mean, it was it was a test of endurance and how bad do you want it. It was one of those type of hunts, because most guys would have said, you know what, I'm getting down, I don't care. But I wanted it bad. I wanted it real bad. And I was close, yeah. Man. I was so close. But I wanted to share the story just to, you know, maybe give hope to guys, or if you find yourself in a similar situation where a buck crosses by and you know that he's going into a bedding area, man, I mean, it can work. And it almost worked for me by being patient, you know, just waiting him out. All it would have taken was 20 minutes early, 15 minutes early, yeah. And I would have had I'm not going to say my biggest buck ever is a 133, 134, something like that. On the hoof, in the split second that I saw him, he looked bigger than that. He was a good yeah. one. He was a really good one for the yeah. area. But I know he's in there, and I played it fairly safe. I'm not going to go back in there for a while. And I think he'll stay around, because nobody else is going to hunt it. And it was just one of those hunts, man, where you do everything that you think is right, and then you find out that, yeah, I did the right thing. I wouldn't have known yeah. that's where he was bedded down at if I hadn't have stayed, you know, known 100% for sure. But
yeah.
when that happened, when he ran off and he was coming in to either investigate, or he was probably going to get up and feed on these acorns at some point. And it was just one of those sits, man, where you're just like, man, I almost had it. I did not kill him yeah. for my lack of hunting ability. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All it took was, if I would have sat in a tree 30 yards, you know, closer to where he came out at, I would have killed him. If I would have sat in a tree 60 yards closer, he would have never smelled me, because I would have been on the other side of him. He would have never winded me, but caught my walk-in trail like he more than likely did. There was so many things that I could have done just a little bit different and killed him, but I mean, I was on him, you know? And,
yeah.
I think a lot of guys underestimate the aggressive, how aggressive do I need to be? If I push in too deep, if I get too close, I'm gonna, you know, mess up that hunt forever. And I may have messed up the spot for a little bit, but I don't think that deer is going to spook out of there. He never blew one time. He definitely knew something wasn't right whenever he came back, but I'm going to give it time, and I guarantee you he's going to be right back in there, because he lived. He's there for a reason. And
yeah.
And I think he's comfortable enough to be right back in there. So, man, I don't know, dude. Like, it was fun. It was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and I also think, too, especially with, you know, public land deer that are, you know, in kind of the overlooked, out of the way places that don't get like a whole lot of pressure. They mm-hmm. even if you do kind of booger them just a little bit, they are so not used to seeing people, or, you know, walking over guys walking in, that there's a good possibility that deer is going to be back during gun season,
mm-hmm.
you know, as opposed to, you know, the deer that gets bumped every weekend, you know,
yeah,
because guys are just in there all the time, you know. Well, that deer is going to eventually just leave the country, because they're like, okay, there's no safe place to be,
yeah.
you know. And so there's a real good chance that you're going to see that deer again during gun season, you know, because that opens up here pretty quickly.
Yeah.
For us. And
well, that's going to be my first, that'll be my first
yeah.
gun sit. We'll be in that spot.
Oh yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And too, like you're probably only looking like maybe total on that area over there. What? Four sits total, maybe.
Yeah. I can't see unless I'm just keep seeing deer. Which I just don't think I will. I don't think it's the kind of spot you go in to see deer numbers. You go in there to kill the buck that you I can't remember if it was Bobby Worthington or if it was Nathan Killen that was talking about this, but they talked about the different personality traits of some of the deer, and and oftentimes the reason why you watch, if you watch the Outdoor Channel or Pursuit Channel or whatever, and you go to these places that are highly managed and they're letting bucks live until they're 5.5, 6.5, 7, whatever. They're letting them live to an older age. You see a lot of these bigger deer come out in the daylight. And that's because the personality traits. You have deer that are just going to be naturally social. They just want to be social. Mm-hmm. And they'll come out in the daylight. But when you're letting deer live until they're 7.5, you're going to have some of these more social animals that come out, you know, in daylight. But still, they're going to have some bucks, even on, like, high fence places. Talk to anybody that owns a large high fence, you know, operation, and they're going to tell you that they have some bucks out there that they just don't see. They do not see in the daylight because they're not coming to the feeders in the daylight. They have some that they don't even see at the feeders. They're reclusive animals. And I think on public, the reason why a lot of the bigger bucks are reclusive is because that's the ones who have lived. You know, that.
Yeah.
There might, if you left alone, let's say you left alone Cahaba WMA, and nobody was allowed to hunt it for, 10 years, you would have big bucks out there that are just naturally social animals that would die, but you would still have some of those deer that live, that just die of old age because they're just going to be reclusive. It's kind of a human personality, I guess, that you could say. Some of us love to be around people. Some people are, you know, extroverted and they love people, and some of us would just rather be by ourselves the whole time because we're more introverted. So I think some of these deer are that way. In this area, I think this specific buck is just, he's just a recluse. I think he's living over there with not a whole lot of deer. I'm sure there's enough does in there to keep him occupied during the rut, but there's just not an abundance of deer sign. And on public land, a lot of times your reclusive bucks are going to be the mature ones because the other ones die so fast, you know. They want to be in the areas where all the does are at, and that's great. But I think this spot is, he could be potentially the biggest deer that I've ever had an opportunity at. And I'm looking forward to it, man. I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's, if I can kill this buck, it would be such a cool story. Just to, I think I have the opportunity to learn a lot about deer hunting by hunting that buck right here. And being smart about it and not going in there carelessly. And so I'm looking forward to it, man. It jacked me up. I was so tired. I literally took a nap after church today for like 5 hours because I was so tired. My family left. They left and went to some of our relatives' house, and I woke up and I was so confused. I was like, where am I? What's going on? Because I was just war slap out. But it was worth it, man. It was honestly, it was one of those sits that you go into thinking, you know, I don't have a good chance going in. But after the sit, you're like, yep, I got to kill this deer. I was so close. Anyways, that's been my, I think this week, I may take it a little bit. I may take it easy, try to get some brownie points around the house. I hunted hard, you know, the last 2 weeks, and I've got Kentucky coming up at the beginning of November, and then Missouri at the end of November. I got a lot, and then the rut kicks in here in December, so I got a lot of hunting to do. You got any plans for this week?
Yeah, on Friday, we were both texting from the tree. Me and a buddy went and tag teamed a piece of public. Where we have always been deer, and we didn't see, I mean, we didn't even see a squirrel. I mean, you know, and so we got down about 9:30 because we hadn't seen, I mean, nothing. And this is one of those spots where it's a natural travel corridor.
Well, he calls it the honey hole, right?
He calls it the honey hole.
Everybody's got a honey hole, and
everybody's got a honey hole, and we hunted it last year and saw deer last year in it, and just did not see it. And I think one of the things, Parker, that I'm going to take away from these first 2 weeks, if we start early next year, is don't assume that the same places that have always held deer are going to hold deer.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what I did. It's just one of those spots where I'm like, man, it's always held deer. So let's go try it, you know? And so we didn't see nothing, but we got down and we drove seriously like 200 yards down the road, and we went in on the other side of the road just to check another spot. And, there's a guy that said, you know, they'd seen a big deer and it was during daylight. And so, we went and checked this area out, and sure enough, man, there was a really big deer track in this area. And it doesn't look like one. Like if you were to drive by and you look at it and go, that don't look like a whole lot, you know,
yeah.
But, a big deer track, and he's a heavy deer. And a reason you can tell that is, there's a doe track that's next to his track, and he is sunken into the earth. I mean, he's a big joker, and it's awesome the way it sets up. Cause from his track, the way he was going into was he was going down to the water. Well, the water's only 100 yards from where we were at to where he was going. And it slopes up to a high bluff, and on top of that bluff, there's a lot of bedding. There's little small pine thickets and stuff up there. So he's either, you know, walking that bluff, or he's bedded down by the water, which is 100 yards from where he crossed.
Yeah.
And so there's a good possibility that he's going to be in there. So I'm going to try to slip off and maybe try to hunt that this week. But it's crazy because across the road, 200 yards down from where me and my buddy were hunting, there's a white oak that was dropping, and deer were smashing it. And we were picking up acorns, we were picking up holes, and it was right off. It was right off the side of this forest road down through there, and it was just covered up in deer tracks. And so, we just happened to, you know, get out and go check it. And that's the thing, guys, man, don't just assume just because they've been hot spots for you in the past, you know, get out and check it. And if you don't find the fresh sign there right now, then go put some boots on the ground and go find you some fresh sign and get on it. But that was the first big buck track that I've cut this year, and got me a little bit excited and jacked up.
Well, when you talk about that, you bring a good point up of don't assume, but also this is not the time of the season to go and blow out all of your best spots. There's two trains of thought here, though. You can go in like in some of the spots that I go to during the rut, like maybe I'll go and put one or two or three sits in a spot during the rut. I have some areas where during that time of the season I'm gonna spend the majority of my time there. Then I have some that I'm like, I could go in here maybe one or two times and have an opportunity. I may go into those areas in the early season because I have plenty of time to let it settle down before I'm going back. And realistically,
yeah,
I don't have a lot of competition in as far as hunters go in the areas
right.
that I'm hunting. And so I can go and be fairly confident that I can just let it settle down. So you have that, but don't go into your best areas right now and potentially ruin them for you early in the season. I think next year my plan is going to be to go in, if I know there's a spot, if I know there's an area that looks good on a map, that maybe I haven't been able to scout. Maybe I haven't been there. Maybe I haven't been there in a long time. Maybe it's a spot that I've been to before and haven't been there in a long time just because I didn't find the sign that I thought I was going to find. Don't be afraid to go back in there, especially when things are different in the early season when you've got time. Go into your new spots. Go be aggressive in a new spot that if you don't see anything or you blow a deer out or whatever, you know, if you jump a big buck, that it's kind of a no harm, it's no harm, no foul type deal. Like, you just go in and be aggressive on a new area without putting in jeopardy some of the spots that you have. And maybe if you go into a new area, you might find, oh man, this is a great spot that I need to be hunting more. And you can make your plans based on that. Like, this is the time of year to really do, or maybe not right now, but that time of the season, those first couple of weeks of October, like, go in and find some new ground, you know, be aggressive on some new ground and don't potentially ruin some of your best spots. I think that's the biggest mess up that people do is, first thing in their first sit, they're going to their best spot. I see that specifically on hunting clubs. Like, this is my best spot. I'm going to go in there the first day, and maybe it works out. You know, maybe you're running trail cameras and you go in and kill your buck or whatever. But maybe it doesn't. You know, maybe you go in and potentially, you know, let a buck know that you're in there, and things are different for the rest of the season. I think throwing one sit in an area isn't going to be too terribly detrimental to you, especially if you let it rest for an extended period of time. But you start going in, man, and spending all your time in the same spot, you can just go ahead and mark that off of the list of places that you want to hunt a lot in the future, because you've already let the deer know exactly where you're at, what you're doing, and I just don't think that that's very smart. So,
yeah. Yeah,
that's
and then also too, there's to go along with that thought too, is that if you do have access to, you know, maybe your family's got, you know, 10, 15, 5 acres, you know, doesn't matter, you know, or maybe you are on hunt club and you've been hitting public hard, you know, hey, throw a couple sits at that, go and knock you down some does, you know, and then especially if it's got a greenfield early season, you know. Go and knock you down some does, and if you haven't scouted, you know, and you don't want to just blow up the band, you know, and just go walking down through there, then just go sit on a greenfield somewhere, you know, ask a buddy, and go whack you a doe, you know, and Parker, I know we gotta, you know, kind of bring it to a close, but I wanna This is a cool story with what happened last night, actually.
Yeah,
Saturday night.
That's what I was about to get into.
Yeah, and because once again, this is that spot over there where I can go hunt it, and you see a lot of deer. It's a great place to take kids because they can see deer, so I took both of my kids. The first time I've ever taken both of my kids with me. Last year I took them both individually, but this was the first time I ever taken both of them. So we go and set up in the blind, and we're there. And of course I brought snacks, and I bring a whole bag of snacks, and we eat our snacks in 20 minutes. And then we eat our snacks. The little man's like, I gotta pee. So he pees out the window of the tree stand, and it's just an absolute goat rope. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just crazy. But somehow, some way, we had four does start coming in, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to happen. Like, I'm going to get to shoot a deer with both my kids here. It's going to be awesome. And so my little girl who's six, she saw the deer walk in, and was like, Daddy, there's, and I'm like, yeah, baby. You gotta be quiet. And my little man was playing his iPad. And I go, I kind of whispered to him, I'm like, hey, buddy, there's some deer coming in. And he goes, where? And he's like, you know, all excited. I'm like, oh gosh. And I'm like, right, shh. And they're at 30 yards, and I close them. And so anyway, they come in, and I get the full draw, and both of my kids are trying to see these deer. Like they're trying to see the deer that daddy's going to shoot. And I'm like, guys, stop me. And I'm at full draw. I'm like, y'all stop moving. And of course I'm whispering this. The does are starting to get spooky because they can hear me whispering. And I'm like, Briar, don't move. They're right here. The deer are right here. And he goes, where? And he looks up. And when he did, I mean, obviously they jumped, blew, ran, and ran off. And I was at full draw, was about to send it. And it was frustrating for just a second, but then I was like, man, it's all right. It's just deer hunting. You know, it's okay. And so I was able to have a really cool moment with both my kids there. I will say this, it is extremely difficult to deer hunt with two youngins under the age of six. It is absolutely difficult, but it is really cool. And guys, if you get a chance, man, take them out. And because once again, it's not about killing deer, you know.
Yeah.
That's the least of my concerns. But we got out. We spent some time. They didn't have the iPad the whole entire time because I'm trying to teach them to sit, to be quiet, all that stuff. But man, it was awesome. It's a great experience. I got the full draw. Almost killed me another doe, you know. And the next time we might get it done. But it was a cool experience, man.
That's cool, man. That's I can't wait, honestly. And I'm actually considering next year getting on a hunting club. Henley will be, my little girl will be four next year, and mm-hmm. she's eat up with it. Like she loves to go. Anytime I ask her if she wants to go out, you know, do anything outside. We went squirrel hunting. She went hog hunting with me. We went fishing. Little girl caught a fish on the first cast of her life, so I'm hoping she's just got that good luck and we can go out. But that the hunting club, actually, I went on with my buddy this past weekend. I'm considering getting on it next year, and I'm gonna hunt it a little bit more this year just to kind of get my bearings on it. I like hunting public land more. It's more enjoyable for me personally. But I want mm-hmm. something like what you're talking about to be able to get my kids into it, and to let them see deer. You know, I want them to see deer, and have the same experiences that I have that got me hooked on it. And so,
yeah, man.
You know, people say things. You know, if I shot a buck on private land, I guarantee you that there would be the one guy or two guys on YouTube that would say something about it. But there does come a point where we just. You know, I don't care. So, there's that.
Guys, hunt however you want to hunt. As long as it's legal, if you want to hunt public, hunt it. If you want to hunt private, hunt it. But as long as it's legal, hunt it. Have a great time doing it. And if you want to kill a 4-point, kill your 4-point.
Send it.
If you want to kill a 14, send it. If you want to kill a 14-point, kill a 14-point. You know, like just make sure you're going out and enjoying it. And also just, you know, this is. You're not gonna make it on Realtree. You're just not. Like, let's just go ahead and say it. Like, you're not gonna make it on the Outdoor Channel. You know,
you're more than likely not the next Bill Jordan. So,
no. So just go out and have a great time. Get your kids out and get them involved. Let them mess up a deer hunt for you. Just don't yell and scream and holler at them. You know, and
yep.
And just have a great time doing it, because that's what it's all about, man. I mean, and we've said it over and over and over again. Even on, if it's private land or public, you know, it's not about the size of the image, it's the size of the adventure that you have on it.
Yep.
You know?
Heck yeah.
And so, get out and enjoy it, man.
Well, I'm with you on that, dude. And I think we'll wrap it up with that. I think that's a good podcast. Lots of good stuff talked about here. I'm looking forward personally to about the next 3 weeks as far as seeing mm-hmm. bucks killed in the state of Alabama and across the South. I think we're kind of getting into that time. I know a lot of states, especially thinking about Tennessee, they're starting to see a lot of buck sign open up. We're still a little mm-hmm. ways away from seeing that in the part of Alabama that we hunt, but I think you're going to start seeing a lot of that. I personally feel as though, you know, I feel like my buck encounters are going to start going up in the next 3 weeks. just because they typically do around that time of the season. And I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm hoping that the season's shaping up to be a high number of deer kills. So I'm obviously super excited about that. But Drew, it's almost 12 o'clock midnight, and you're trying to hunt in the morning. If I were to go hunting in the morning, I would have to wake up in 3 hours or 2 hours, and I'm not really feeling that, so I'm not going to go hunting in the morning. But if you go, good luck. Everybody,
it'll be hard, man.
Yeah, it'll be hard to wake up. I'm not jealous of you right now. I could hunt. I could actually hunt in the morning. I don't know. That all day sit, it got me. I'm like, I need to chill out for a minute. So anyways, let's wrap this up. Guys, make sure you check out Southern Ground Hunting on YouTube, at Southern Ground Hunting on Instagram, and Southern Ground Hunting on Facebook. Give us a like there. Going to be uploading some fresh content to YouTube very, very soon. We've got some already. If you want to watch, I think we got four videos or something from this season. If you haven't checked those out, check them out. Give us a subscribe, if you will. I would greatly appreciate it. Let's see here. Leave us a review on iTunes. Give us a 5-star review. I made the mistake, Drew, of going and reading some reviews. and for the most part, they're good. But there are some bad apples in there. Whatever. You know, it doesn't hurt my feelings. I can say, well, it kind of does, but... anyways, let's talk about, let's see, do we have anything else? Screegear.com, you can use the code Southern Ground, all lowercase, all one word, and it'll save you a little bit at checkout, and I can guarantee you that you will not regret your purchase at Screegear.com. And that is going to be it for this weekend. Remember this, if you are going to be in the woods, and I know a lot of you guys are going to be in the woods, remember that God gave you dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and the beasts of the earth. So go out and exercise that dominion. We will talk to you next time.